Downtown on a Wednesday, Sports Lit 101 time. Bruce Pratt here with us in studio, and we welcome in an author whose book we've talked about quite a bit over the last few weeks. The book is called The Pitcher and the Dictator, Satchel Paige's Unlikely Season in the Dominican Republic. We're pleased to be joined by Averill Ace Smith. Ace, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. A great pleasure.
Well, a wonderful book, fascinating story. What drew you to the story of Satchel Paige in the Dominican?
It's a funny thing. In the summer of 2005, I read two books, one after the other, just quite by coincidence. One book called The Feast of the Goat by Mario Vargas Llosa, the great Peruvian author, which is mainly about Trujillo and his assassination. And then right after that, for some reason, I picked up this book called Satchel Paige's America by William Price Fox, which had a little vignette telling the story about the 37 series. I became transfixed by that. And as a result, I went out of my way to find out everything I could about it. So I went down to the University of Santa Barbara, where they had the original Spanish newspapers in Spanish from the Dominican Republic, and I read them all, and I realized the story was bigger than anyone had ever told it. So I set out to tell it.
Well, you did, and this is Bruce. I was so amazed by the research that you were able to get as many of the details as you did. I thought it was also, obviously, with your political background and understanding of political science, you could put this in a historical context in a way that made it not just about baseball. Was that one of your purposes?
It sure was, and I kind of tell the almost parallel lives of Trujillo and Satchel, and you really can't understand it unless you understand the entire context. I probably read 200 books, everything I get my hand on about that era, everything from literally like tourist books of people traveling through the Caribbean and the Dominican Republic at that time, to every newspaper, period, anything I could get my hands on that was happening during that time to get the feel for it.
Well, in 1937, Satchel Paige got paid what would be a king's ransom for that time to bolt his team and go play in the Dominican Republic. And he sort of had two things happen. He learned one great lesson about freedom, and then he learned another one that shows that it comes with a price.
He sure did. And it's one of the great ironies of the book, which is that here he is playing in the land of the free, home of the brave, but he gets to one of the most repressive dictatorships in the Americas, and he realizes, and his fellow teammates realize, that in some sense they have more freedom in the Dominican Republic, this repressive dictatorship, than they do in America, because there's no color bar. And so they, you know, as you read the book, you find out they got money in their pockets, there's no color bar, they go partying, and that leads to many other complications, as you're aware.
And it allowed them to experience for the first time the ability to sort of walk into any store, any business, be anywhere on the street without having to worry that they were going into the wrong place. But there was always someone keeping tabs on them too.
Yes, and the way that happened was they got down there and they started playing, they started winning, and this was a repressive dictatorship, so people were always keeping tabs on them. But what happened was they started losing games. And when they got to the point where they were losing games, Trujillo took one of his, you know, essentially the head of his Gestapo, and installed the guy as his assistant manager. And he essentially told all the players, win or else. He also went out to all the bars and nightclubs, bordellos, you name it, and said, you serve any of those players a drink, guess what? You're 6 feet under.
And the players really believed that there was a decent chance that if they didn't win, they'd get lined up and killed.
Well, they had, you know, they saw nothing but these folks running around with these big guns, and they realized quickly it was run by a dictator. So they had every reason to be fearful. One of the great ironies, just in terms of writing the book, was that they were also very publicly denounced on the front page of the Dominican newspapers. And that was kind of Trujillo's MO, very much like Stalin did with Pravda and other dictatorships, where you learned one day that you were being denounced, and that was kind of the end of your career, in some cases the end of your life. And the funny thing about it in this case is I don't think any of these players ever realized they were being denounced on the front page of the newspapers. I don't think they had any idea about it. And so they maybe didn't know it was as dire as it really got. But from the standpoint of writing the book, the denunciations, public denunciations of these players by the dictator put all sorts of detail in the historical record that I never believed I would be able to find.
And is not another irony, I thought it was, that Trujillo, Duvalier, Somoza, Castro, these guys who became dictators in the Caribbean, often came to power because of a populist movement against U.S. imperialism or aggression, or the fact that we had meddled in their governmental affairs. That seemed also ironic that then they went and got players who would be the most disaffected, maybe, among American professional athletes.
Yes, and the way that came about was the poor man who was running Trujillo's team. So Trujillo starts, he's supposedly running as much as dictators run for re-election in 1938. And he decides, essentially, is in his version of Roman games, right? I'm going to give you something in return for your liberty. I'm going to give you this great baseball championship. And people, when I started telling them the story, which is why I included it as one of the pictures in the book, they didn't believe me that there was this series called the Baseball Championship Series dedicated to the re-election of Rafael Trujillo. Yeah. But that's what this thing was called. And so what happens is the poor man who's running the team rolls out the team. There's three teams in this championship. They start playing. And guess what? His team starts losing. And he's looking around and he's going to himself, well, this is not just going to look bad on my resume. I'm going to get shot. So he decides that the best place to get the players is by going north to the United States and recruiting all the best Negro League players. And he was right about that.
Well, and he mixed them, though. I think you make a case in the book that maybe the best nine ever put on the field could have happened in that championship or in the years in and around that, because not only did they get all the best Latin ball players, but the players they got from America were among some of the very best of the old Negro Leagues.
There's no question. Some of the very best players who ever played baseball. Satchel Paige was probably among the best pitchers who've ever pitched. Josh Gibson, without a doubt, is probably a premier power hitter, really on the same level as Babe Ruth. Cool Papa Bell, who played on these same teams, was probably one of the fastest, best-hitting outfielders who ever played the game. Some of the Latin players, Tetelo Vargas, it was ironic that Tetelo was probably either the first or second fastest man who ever played baseball. He played in the same series for another team. The great Cuban, Martin Diego, he was probably the greatest all-round player. Here's a man who could play eight positions perfectly, had one of the best arms, could hit for power, could hit for average, and then by the time the series rolls around, turned himself into a Hall of Fame pitcher. Just a remarkable athlete.
We're talking with author Averill A. Smith. The book is called The Pitcher and the Dictator. And when Satchel Paige first arrived in the Dominican, he was surprised, as you point out, not by what he saw, but by what he didn't see.
Yes, he was. He got down there and he looked around and he realized that everything was pristine. He didn't think there was any poverty. He thought that this was almost a utopian-type society. And Trujillo did, and his people did, create a little bubble. But anytime he got wandering in his fellow players beyond that, then they did realize that they would walk into a lot of poverty and a lot of things that Trujillo sought to hide from outsiders.
Now, the Dominican has supplied us with some of the finest ball players to play in the American League in the last many years. And there are still pockets there where baseball is insanely popular. How did baseball really, in a sense, in that part of the world, survive Trujillo and then survive his demise?
Well, baseball in Dominican Republic, I would argue, it was there before, but it really took root in the American occupation of the Dominican Republic. Few Americans remember that between 1916 and 1924, we invaded Dominican Republic. We literally took over the government, the Marines ran it, and we censored the press. We took all the guns through them in the Caribbean. We refused to let people assemble we took away the freedom of speech, you name it. And really, the one remaining freedom in that country was the baseball, and especially the games that the locals played against the Marines. It became one of the greatest sources of pride when they would beat the Marines in those baseball tournaments. And that's really probably what really lit the fuse. And then by the time you have Trujillo taking power in 1930, it's a pretty darn popular sport. And Trujillo himself was not a baseball fan, but Trujillo was a very, very smart man, and he realized the popularity of the game. And so he did underwrite it and help promote it.
Well, as I alluded to the beginning of the show, you have an impressive resume in being involved in national and important state campaigns for national elections. Did you find that was a real advantage, that experience and that knowledge and that kind of understanding in writing this book, because you could see the political dynamics of it?
It was certainly a help, understanding political dynamics and how things really happen. The other thing that helped tremendously was I understand the mechanics of things getting in the newspaper, what gets in, what doesn't, and also how to primary, the value of primary sources. So I'm a fanatic about trying to get as close as I can to the subject matter without it being interpreted by someone else. And so I spent a huge amount of time, not just here in the United States at all the major libraries, but down in the Dominican Republic at the archives, National Archives, digging through every little shred that I could find from the time period and a little bit before and after this championship series.
Well, the research paid off. It is a fascinating story. The Pitcher and the Dictator, Satchel Paige's Unlikely Season in the Dominican Republic. Averill A. Smith, the author, we thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Terrific read, Bruce. Yeah. Thanks for bringing this one to our attention.
Yeah. Again,
and what's amazing to think of is, I mean, he's doing this nearly 30 years before his last games in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and he got paid $35,000. At the time, a lawyer in New York would make $3,000 a year. I mean, so we're talking, put it in perspective. It's really pretty. It's a really good book. The Pitcher and the Dictator, you should just go get it for yourself.
Absolutely.